morning. Let me ask you to open your Bible to the book of Acts, chapter 4. Acts chapter 4. We began to look at this earlier, and we're again looking at the history of the early church. And what we find here is that a man had just been healed. And this man had been lame from birth. And there were many who were coming to see this, and they were completely amazed and marveled at what they saw here. But we also see the reaction of some others. Because they began to speak and to proclaim the good news of Jesus to those who were there, to those who had seen and witnessed this miracle take place. In verse 4, now as they spoke to the people, the priests, the captain of the temple, and the Sadducees came upon them, being greatly disturbed that they taught the people and preached in Jesus the resurrection from the dead. And they laid hands on them and put them in custody until the next day, for it was already evening. However, many of those who heard the word believed, and the number of the men came to be about 5,000. Now here we see they're preaching the word of God, and we're seeing here they're being imprisoned. And I want us to think today about us as we go into the world today. We are called to go into all the world and to preach the gospel, to follow the examples of their disciples. And oftentimes when that takes place, you're going to find some confrontation. Those who do not like to hear what you're saying for different reasons. Let's turn to John chapter 15, verse 18. Again, we have many scriptures that point out our relationship to God and what he expects of us today. In John chapter 15, beginning of verse 18, Jesus saying this to his disciples, "If the world hates you, you know that it hated me before it hated you. If you were of the world would love its own. Yet because you are not of the world, but I chose you out of the world, therefore the world hates you." Speaking to his apostles. "Remember the word that I said to you. A servant is not greater than his master. If they persecute me or persecuted me, they will also persecute you. If they kept my word, they will also keep yours. But all these things they will do to you for my name's sake, because they do not know him who sent me." So Jesus is warning them, you are going to be persecuted. If they persecute me, they're going to persecute you. Let's turn now to Philippians chapter 1. Philippians chapter 1, beginning verse 27. Because Paul has to encourage those that he comes in contact with of being steadfast and immovable, always abounding to the grace of the Lord, to do what God has instructed them to do. In Philippians chapter 1, verse 27, he says to those there, "Only let your conduct be worthy of the gospel of Christ, so that whether I come to see you or am absent, I may hear of your affairs, that you stand fast in one spirit, one mind, striving together for the faith of the gospel." And that's what we're doing here this morning, isn't it? We are striving together for the faith of the gospel. Verse 28, "And not in any way terrified by your adversaries." Don't be afraid. Don't be afraid is what he's telling them. "Which is to them a proof of perdition, but to you of salvation, that from God." And then he says in verse 29, "For to you it has been granted on behalf of Christ, and only to believe in him, but also to suffer for his sake, having the same conflict which you saw in me, and now here that is in me." He's telling them, these things are going to happen, but you need to find comfort in the Lord. Now in Acts chapter 4 and verse 1, we find the first thing that happens to them as they're preaching here is that they're going to be jailed. "Now as they spoke to the people, the priests, the captain of the temple, and the Sadducees came upon them, being greatly disturbed that they taught the people and preached in Jesus the resurrection from the dead. And they laid hands on them and put them in custody until the next day, for it was already evening." Now they came and they're very angry. The last time as I was speaking about this message, we went into some detail about why they are so angry. If they believe in Jesus, if they turn to Jesus, those in power there in Jerusalem are going to lose their respect, their authority, and even their income, their money. Are people affected by things where they lose their money? Yes. And when they saw this, they were greatly concerned. We spoke about the priest at that time. During this particular time, the priest, the high priest, was typically for 1 year, but they were the ones who paid the highest price to the emperor, to the ruler. They bought it, and they were rulers. But they bought it for a reason. They bought it for a reason. What's that thing? Follow the money. Follow the money. So what they did, the high priest, they made it mandatory that people only could buy certain things that they owned. And not only that, they had to pay in certain kind of money. So they had to come in there, they had to exchange their money for the kind of money accepted in the temple. Two different ways they made profit. Selling the animals, and also the exchange of the money itself. They had great power, great influence because of this. Now here comes this Jesus, and he's turning things around. He's having people who are starting to follow him and listen to him. And they're greatly concerned about this. Look at verse 2 again, Acts chapter 4. Being greatly disturbed because they taught the people and preached in Jesus the resurrection of the dead. Now, why were they so bold? We began to examine this last time. Why were they so bold speaking in front of these rulers? Imagine for just a moment you, and you're being called and you're going to talk to a series of judges, or maybe you're before the President of the United States, somebody of great power. Would you have the boldness to speak? I know I've been in situations and I was just as timid and as cowardly as could be. But you had to learn how to speak and to speak boldly. Now the first source that we talked about last time, what gave them their boldness as they stood there before the priests and the Sanhedrin, what gave them their boldness, one of the things there is they were absolutely convinced about what had taken place. They completely believed about who Jesus was. They were witnesses to it. They saw his miracles. They saw him being crucified and then being resurrected from the dead. They were witnesses to this. Let's turn to 1 John chapter 1. 1 John chapter 1 and verse 1. Because here John talks about this. This is the apostle, John. Now listen to his words. And again, we're talking here about evidence, about history. And this is a man who was an eyewitness of these things that took place. And he's speaking with boldness as he proclaims this. He says, that which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon, and our hands have handled concerning the word of life. The word of life there refers to Jesus. The life was manifested, and we have seen and bear witness and declare to you that eternal life which was with the Father and was manifested to us. John had boldness. Why? He saw it. He touched it. He felt it. He was in his presence. So he could go out there and he can speak as an eyewitness. Now let's go back to Acts chapter 4, because they're put in prison and they're going to be interrogated. But we see in these conditions, they have boldness because of their conviction. In Acts chapter 4, verses 5 and 6, it came to pass on the next day that the rulers, elders, and scribes, as well as Annas, the high priest, Caiaphas, John, and Alexander, and as many as were the family of the high priest, were gathered together at Jerusalem. Again, now they're standing before some of the most powerful people in that particular place. And these people held these positions. They have this power because they were willing to become subservient or meet the expectations of the Roman rulers. They were willing to pay that price. So we want to continue to look at what made them have so much confidence and so much boldness. Let's turn now to Mark chapter 11. Mark chapter 11. Because we can see here an example of Jesus. Jesus comes. He's going to come to the temple. And he sees all this taking place. The system that had been set up by the religious leaders of that day to make money, to keep their power. They were willing to pay the price to have the power that they did. Here in Mark chapter 11, beginning in verse 15. So they came to Jerusalem. Then Jesus went into the temple, began to drive out those who bought and sold in the temple, and overturned the tables of the money changers and the seats of those who sold doves. Jesus showed his anger and his displeasure about what was taking place. Again, he turns the table of the money changers. Remember, they required that you only could pay in a certain kind of money. So people coming from all these foreign lands, they had to pay to get their money in the right kind of money. That's how they made even more money. Look at verse 16. He would not allow anyone to carry out wares through the temple. Then he taught, saying to them, "Is it not written, 'My house shall be called a house of prayer for all nations'? But you have made it a den of thieves." And the scribes and chief priests heard it, and they saw how they might destroy him, for they feared him, because all the people were astonished at his teaching. He says these things, and notice once again, verse 18, the scribes, the chief priests heard it, and saw how they might destroy him, for they feared the people, because all the people were astonished at his teachings. So once again, they stand up, they've been put in prison, now they're being interrogated. And what's another source, perhaps, of their boldness? What's another source of why they were so bold? Have you ever had to get up and give a presentation, an oral presentation, speak in front of a group of people? When you first do it, is it easy to do? No, it's not. And here they are. They're speaking before the religious rulers of the day. They have boldness because, number one, they have that conviction. They know who Jesus is. They're eyewitnesses. But also, God equipped them. He gave them the tools they're going to need. In Acts chapter 4, verse 7, "And when they had set them in the midst and asked, 'By what power or by what name have you done this?' Then Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit, said to them, 'Rulers of the people and the elders of Israel.'" Now here's the second reason they were so bold. And that was because if you look again in verse 8, Peter was filled with what? The Holy Spirit. He was filled with the Holy Spirit. Now that word filling or filled by the Holy Spirit there by Peter is because of the result of something miraculous. God had promised them that this would take place. He had promised his apostles that the Holy Spirit would enable them to recall all things he had taught them. And additionally, it would teach them things they had not known before. And that's exactly what the Holy Spirit did. Let's turn to Matthew chapter 10. Matthew chapter 10, verse 16. That would be so wonderful if I could stand up and the words would be just put in my mouth. But that is not what happens, is it, today? It is not a miraculous thing when somebody gets up and speaks to you. They have to prepare. They have to train. They have to know what they want to say and prepare to do that. But here, Peter and the disciples during this time period, they were inspired by the Holy Spirit when needed. In Matthew chapter 10, beginning verse 16, Jesus says, "Behold, I send you out as sheep in the midst of wolves. Therefore, be wise as serpents and harmless as doves. Beware of men, for they will deliver you up to councils and scourge you in their synagogues. You will be brought before governors and kings for my sake as a testimony to them and to the Gentiles." He's telling them, be prepared. This is going to happen to you. You're going to be beaten. You're going to be scourged. You're going to be brought before rulers. You're going to be brought there for whose sake? For my sake. Why? You are going to proclaim the message. Now look at verse 19. Because Jesus gives them some specific instructions. "But when they deliver you up, do not worry about how or what you should speak. For it will be given to you in that hour what you shall speak. For it is not you who speak, but the Spirit of your Father who speaks in you." Jesus told them specifically here, don't worry about it, about what you're going to say. It's going to be given to you by the Father. Now, is that promise to people today? Can anybody speak in the same way that the apostles did, being filled by the Holy Spirit? The answer is unequivocally no. There's nobody living today who was an eyewitness. Nobody living today who Jesus spoke those words. It will be delivered you at that same time of what you will speak. Don't worry about it. Those words were not spoken, or that commandment not given to anyone living today. But there are those who claim, what? That they are filled with the Holy Spirit in the same sense, and that God speaks to them. And once again, that is an absolute lie. Now, Peter's filling with the Holy Spirit at this time was probably a miraculous thing. But there's an application for us today too. When we speak, when we proclaim the good news of Jesus Christ, we should do it in a very specific way. Let's turn to Colossians chapter 3 and verse 16. And there you see in Colossians 3:16 and also in Ephesians 5:19 that we are told to be filled with the Spirit. That's a commandment we're given, to be filled with the Spirit. And both of those passages pertain to believers like you and me. But the word filled here, be filled with the Holy Spirit, is different from what we find spoken about in Acts chapter 4, verse 8. There's a different sense of being filled. In Ephesians and Colossians, those two verses, it means to be under the influence of or the control of. Now let me ask you a question. How can we today be under the influence of or the control of the Holy Spirit? In what sense can we be under the influence of or the control of the Holy Spirit? I will say to you, there's only one way. And that is to read and to know God's word. That comes from the Holy Spirit. That's how we are influenced, and that's how we can be controlled. Now the word in Acts chapter 4, verse 8 there, is a different kind of being filled with the Holy Spirit. And what it literally means is that it's like, and I don't like the analogy here, but for those who are under the influence of alcohol, they're completely under control. It's not them that's doing it, but the alcohol is kind of influencing. They're under the complete control of something else. And in that sense, the apostles were under the complete control of something else. And what was the something else? The Holy Spirit of God. God completely controlled them when they speak and gave them the things they were to speak. Now, how can we, again, be under the influence of the Holy Spirit? Let's turn to Galatians chapter 5. Galatians chapter 5. Because we are to be filled with the Holy Spirit today in a different kind of sense. In Galatians chapter 5, in verse 22, it shows that if we know God's word, we are to submit ourselves to God's word. The Holy Spirit influences us how we live our lives. We are influenced by the Holy Spirit. In that sense, we become controlled by the Holy Spirit if we submit to the word of God. In Galatians chapter 5, verse 22, he says, "But the fruit of the Spirit," notice that terminology, "the fruit of the Spirit, if you submit yourself to his word, if you are obedient to him, if you put God first in your life, this is the fruit of the Spirit." Now notice what it says. Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such there is no law. Now let me encourage you, if you highlight scripture, highlight that one verse there. And notice what it's talking about. These are the kinds of things that you should desire in your life. because you submit yourself to God. This is what you should desire. Love, a love of God. Joy, peace beyond all understanding. Long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. These are things that will help us to live our lives the way God wants us to live our lives. So again, we can be bold in opposition. But to do that, we need to submit ourselves to God. That's exactly what the apostles did. They were firmly convinced who he was. They were at that time filled with the gift of the Holy Spirit. In a different sense, we too need to make sure that our lives are completely controlled by our Lord and our God. We need to surrender ourselves to God. And I'll ask you a question. Have you surrendered your life to God? Are you his servant? Is he your master? Again, if you look at God's word and follow his word, that's exactly what he wants you to do. And then you can have the same kind of boldness that we're seeing here in Peter and John. We can have confidence in what we believe. Do you have confidence in what you believe? I hope you can say amen to that. Are you being influenced by the Holy Spirit today? By reading his word, being obedient to his word, submitting to his will. Because those two things, being firmly convicted that Jesus is the Christ, submitting yourself to his word, then you are being influenced by the Holy Spirit. Now let's turn to Acts chapter 4 again, and verse 8. Acts chapter 4, verse 8. We can find another reason why they were so bold. In Acts chapter 4, verse 8, then Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit, said to them, "Rulers of the people and elders of Israel, if we this day are judged for a good deed done to a helpless man, by what means he has been made well? Let it be made known to you all and to all the people of Israel that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified, whom God raised from the dead, by him this man stands here before you whole." This is a third reason why they were so bold. A third reason they were so bold is because they were very clear about whom they represented. Whom did they represent? Jesus. They were standing there by the authority of Jesus Christ, and they were representing him by the things they said. Now, does this work? When we speak, do we speak with the authority of the Lord? If we speak his word, we do. And that gave them great boldness. And I can tell from you from prior experience, being in the military, you know, when you work for your superiors, if I was at the time a junior officer and I had to go and speak in front of a whole bunch of senior officers, but I was sent by the general to speak to these officers, do you think I had more confidence speaking to them if the general told me what he wanted me to say to them? Yes. Because I was speaking by whose authority? I was speaking by the general's authority. So when I stood before that crowd, those officers, my superiors, I was speaking by his authority, the general's authority. Did I have confidence? Yes, I did. I could be bold because I knew what I was ordered to say. And I knew by whose authority I was saying it. And this is exactly what's taking place here. They are standing before these religious rulers. Do they have their orders? Yeah, they've got their orders. Who's commanded them to speak this way? Jesus did. You see the boldness? Yes. Because it wasn't, in essence, them speaking, but who was speaking? The Lord Jesus was speaking through them. You see the boldness there? All right, we'll stop, God willing, and continue to see these examples historically about why the message, the gospel message, was so boldly proclaimed and why these apostles were so bold. And today, do we need to have the same boldness? Can I hear amen? Amen. We do. We do need to have the same boldness. People out there are crying People out there are in pain. People out there are suffering. Many people are living their lives separate from God, separate from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. These people all need to hear about Jesus, and we're the ones who need to do it. If you're here this morning, you've not yet obeyed the gospel, we want to encourage you to take that step. And if you're a brother or sister in Christ, if you need the prayers of our congregation, please come forward now as we stand and sing the song of invitation.